I have been very busy this week reading my scrolls. We have many scrolls here at the church here in Jerusalem, and I am I'm amazed at how much they have written. We have copies of writings of Matthew and Mark. We have several writings of John and, of course, Peter. We have some scrolls, copies of a new guy. What's his name? Hang on just a second. Paul, that's his name. Yeah, he's written a fair bit. I've never met him myself, but he writes well. We guard these documents closely, for they are the words of men who have been with Jesus. These are words of God telling us who Jesus was and what he means to us. This scroll here is one I copied myself. It's the Gospel of Luke, and I'm almost at the end of the book, and I've reached the part where he begins to talk about me. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. I must apologize. I must introduce myself, for I am Joseph. My name is Joseph, and I come from a wealthy town and family called Arimathea. It's a small village about 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And we know that it says in Luke's gospel that I was a good and righteous man. There are those who would think that of me, and there are those who would think elsewise. Good and righteous. But I look back over my life, and I have not always been good and righteous. I may have been once I viewed myself in that way because I truly thought that I was being a good man, a righteous man, but really I was not. You see, my father, he was a good man, a gentle man, a righteous man, and I loved my father, and one day I wanted to grow up to be just like him. He was a rabbi. He was highly respected, not just in our little village, but people would come from miles away and ask him questions and hear him tell of God's word and his will for their lives. We had a school in our village, and my father was our teacher, and boys of all ages from 6 or 7 years of age and up, all through adulthood, would gather to hear my father teach, and he would teach them mathematics and reading and writing. But the most important thing that my father taught them was the Word of God. The first thing we learned was the Shema. We all know the Shema, right? Oh, right. You refer to it from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart always." Praise be to the Lord for his word. We repeated these words day after day, week after week, year after year, until it was driven into the minds, the importance of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And as we grew older, my father would teach us about the creation story, about how God created the world and everything in it, how God created Adam and Eve in his image. And he gave them a beautiful garden to live in. But we also learned that they sinned and they lost their place in paradise. They sinned. They lost not only their place in paradise, but they lost their closeness to God himself. And from that day forward, death and sin reigned in our world. And so we learned about how to deal with our sins. We were taught the Levitical laws of the Torah, and we learned the intricacies of offering burnt sacrifices, peace offerings, and our sacrifice for sin. But the one thing that I look forward to most was that we would sing. We would sing from the halal. It's a word that refers to Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And these were the psalms that we would sing each year as we went to Jerusalem, as we ascended to Jerusalem for the great feast of Passover. You know, there comes a day in the lives of many young men and women, I believe, when they begin to believe that their father is not as wise as they once thought he was. That somehow their father had become old and foolish, dare I say, irrelevant and out of date. Well, I'm ashamed to admit that that day came for me as well, and I had met with some of my friends who impressed me with their righteousness. They were the Pharisees. They were so righteous that they were, if they were walking down the street at the time of prayer, they would just stop right there in the middle of the street and they would raise their hands and they would begin to pray right where they were. They were so righteous. And when they fasted, oh, you knew they fasted. They would toss dirt on their heads and their faces, and you knew that they were suffering for their obedience to God in this act. And when it came to tithing, oh my goodness, no one did it as obediently as they did. They were so precise in giving what they would. They would go through their gardens. They would pick every tenth fig from their trees, every tenth berry from their bushes, and they would put them into baskets and present them to God, making sure that they gave one tenth every time. And in time, I became respected by my new friends, and because my father had trained me so well in the scriptures, I knew it in such depth, I became noticed by the men of importance in Judah. My opinions began to be sought out and quoted by others. And then the day came when they asked me to become part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, the ruling body of Israel. And I sat among the great minds of religion in Jerusalem. And then one day came a prophet by the name of John. He came out of the desert. And he would preach down by the Jordan River. And he challenged those who came there to repent of their sins and be buried in the waters of baptism. To have their sins washed away. And this John the baptizer, wore garments made of camel's hair. And he ate locusts dipped in honey. Really, like, it was so unsightly. His big, huge beard, there was like, yeah, you guys can picture it. It was not pretty. When we heard of this, my friends, well, we laughed. Righteous men dressed as we did in finer clothes. We ate far better than this nomadic prophet. And one day we decided we should go down to the Jordan and watch him. Just for mere entertainment and the experience. But we went over the crest of the hill, and it was almost as if he was expecting us. He turned to us and he pointed at us and he declared, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." And when John spoke, it was as if the voice of God himself and his finger pointing at us. And it seemed it was pointing directly at me. And as we made our way back to Jerusalem, we laughed and joked, but inwardly I was very uncomfortable. You know what that's like. And that night, I couldn't sleep. Never before had anyone questioned my integrity and my commitment to God. And the words of John made me begin to question whether I was actually the righteous man I thought I was. And then another prophet came. a preacher, a miracle worker from Galilee, whose name is Jesus. And Jesus went down to the Jordan, asked John to baptize him as well. And those who were there said that when Jesus rose up from the waters, the heavens parted and something like a dove descended up from heaven, and it seemed to settle upon him. And reports of some said that they heard a voice declaring, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Ha! The very idea of comparing some mortal man to being equal with God, how dare they? But they began, we began to hear rumors. It was said that this Jesus had touched a blind man that he could see. He put his fingers in the ears of a deaf man. Suddenly he could hear. And Jesus had taken the hand of a lame man, and the man began to walk. He even fed thousands with just a couple fish and loaves of bread. And it was even said that this Jesus had raised people from the dead. Well, my friend Nicodemus was convinced that he was someone from God, but I was not so certain. So we made up our minds to secretly go and join the crowd and listen to Jesus. And as I listened to Jesus, I experienced something incredible. Whereas when John the baptizer spoke, I became disturbed and restless. But when Jesus spoke, there was peace that swept over me and like a burden lifted from my shoulders. And that despite the danger of being discovered, Nicodemus and I attended several of these gatherings to hear him. But Jesus was not an easy one to like. It seemed as if he took pleasure in goading the Pharisees and the Sadducees into anger. He directly accused them of being liars and hypocrites. And it was not long before he had gained enemies in the circles of power. And the day came when the Sanhedrin, part of that Sanhedrin, gathered and decided that Jesus must die. I wasn't so sure about that. But they all agreed. They conspired to have him arrested by night. That wasn't right either. And brought him before several illegal assemblies, where he confronted by false witness upon false witness who accused him of heresies and all sorts of things. And then they brought him before Pilate, and he accused him of sedition against Rome, claiming to be a king of the Jews. Of course, Pilate saw right through their accusations. But while the Jewish leaders were speaking with him, various Pharisees and Sadducees were milling throughout the crowds that had gathered for Passover. And they accused Jesus of heresies and blasphemies, twisting his words and speaking so persuasively that the crowd soon began to chant, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." And Pilate brought Jesus before him and the people and proclaimed that he found no fault with this man. But the crowds simply drowned out his words with their cries of, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And at last, realizing he could stand against the crowds, or he could just call for a bull. And he went to the waters. "I wash my hands of this man's blood. He is innocent." Then he decided, in an act of cowardice, he turned Jesus over to be put to death anyways. They brought him to Golgotha, the place of the skull where he hung on a cross. It was horrible. He hung on a cross. And the sky darkened and the earth quaked. And I had heard his final words as he hung there on that cross. It is finished. It is finished. And he breathed his last. But it was another statement that he said on the cross. It was almost as if he looked right at me. It's almost as if he looked directly at my person. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Well, I knew what I had done. Or more to the point, I knew what I had not done. I had done nothing. I could have done something. I could have confronted the Sanhedrin or the crowds or spoken to Pilate myself. I could have declared the witnesses liars. I could have done something, but I did nothing. I had done nothing for him while he lived. The least I could do was something for him now that he died. And so I went privately to Pilate, and I asked him that instead of Jesus being buried in the common grave, that I might be allowed to take his body and place it in my own tomb. And Nicodemus and I went and carried his body to my tomb, and we wrapped it in grave clothes. But some of the Jews, they went to Pilate and informed him that Jesus had declared that he would rise from the grave. And while we were placing his body in the tomb, the soldiers came. See, they had been given permission to take some of the temple guard and secure and seal the tomb and guard it. I've never heard of guarding a dead man before, but that's what they did. And then on the first day of the week, early in the morning, as the sun began to rise, some of the women who had followed Jesus, they came to the tomb, hoping that they might persuade the soldiers to roll back the stone, to allow to anoint his body. But when they arrived, they found that the guards were gone and that stone was rolled away and Jesus' body wasn't there. And they said, "An angel dressed in white linen said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" And they ran back and they found the disciples and told them what they had seen. And Peter and John, they ran to the tomb. They found it exactly as the women had told them. Let me tell you, I went there that day as well. It was my tomb. I had put his body there. I knew it was there. But it was gone. He was not there. He had risen. And over the next few days, Jesus appeared to his disciples and then to as many as 500 people at one time. And I too got to see the Christ. I saw the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. I saw the wound from where the Roman soldier pierced his side. And I heard him speak. And again, I felt incredible peace, unlike anything I had ever known. And I knew then that Jesus was God in the flesh, and that this was the one who could love, that I could love with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. And the words of the angel were true. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen? He is risen. And to this day, we in the church gather each week to worship God. to worship the risen Christ, Jesus. We often partake in communion, and we remember the sacrifice that he made for us that day, the bread representing his body that was broken for us, and the cup, his blood, which was spilled to cover our sins. And every time a man or a woman desires to become a follower of Jesus, they reenact what Jesus did for them to forgive their sins. They die to their past. They symbolically wash away their sins in the waters of baptism. And then they rise from those waters and walk in newness of life. For everyone who becomes a Christian must hear the words of Paul, that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that no righteous deed on their behalf could ever buy God's forgiveness, but they need to hear the words of Christ, the words that bring peace and hope and the future in heaven. Well, today I see that there is water. I've also heard that there are some who desire to be baptized. We have three this morning who want to be baptized. Now, I know that our bulletins say that there are Jeff, Terry, and Penny, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to start with Noah, and then Jeff, and then Penny. Unfortunately, Terry is not here this morning. He suffers from anxiety. It was his desire to be baptized this morning, but it's just overtaken him this morning. And so before we have our baptisms, I want to pray for Terry. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning for Terry. I pray that you would bless him. Father, we know that he desires to be baptized and to follow in your commands. We know that he is your child. But this morning, the anxiety that stricken him has overtaken. And I pray that you would just bring your peace upon him this morning, that he would experience your peace, and that someday soon we would be able to baptize him in accordance with your word. Praise you, Father, for him. And I want to thank you for each one that is coming this morning to be baptized. Blessed be your name. Amen. Gail, you want to come forward and bring Noah with you? Well, I take off my shoes and socks. You can use that.
Yeah. I just want to say something really short. I've been praying for a long time for God to have Noah baptized. And if you're patient, God answers all prayers. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Can you tell me your name?
Noah Kevin Sapkowicz Kunzelman.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And is it your choice to be baptized today?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you want to be baptized?
Because I'm a follower of Christ.
And do you have a verse that you would like to share with us?
Yes. Mark 4, 31 to 32. A mustard seed is planted in the ground. It is the smallest seed in the world, but once it is planted, it grows larger than any garden plant. It even puts out its branches that are big enough for birds and nests in the shade.
I think that's a fitting verse for someone so small. Based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, just got a next candidate. There you are. Jeff. Jeff, please come forward at this time. Can you tell me your name?
Jeffrey Paul Laird Horn.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes, he is.
And it is your choice to be baptized this
yes,
day?
Yes, it is.
And can you tell me why you would like to be baptized?
Peace.
Peace. All right. All right. We're going to come around here. Jeff, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Penny, will you join us at the front here? And what is your name?
Penny Murphy.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And is it your choice to be baptized this day?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you want to be baptized?
This is a public dedication to the Lord and a renewal of my dedication to Jesus.
And do you have a favorite verse?
Yes. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Penny, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.